Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour, broadcasting live once again right here from our makeshift studios found in the chapel here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland, right in the heart of this year's 2017 International Convention. Great to be with you today, friends. Stay with us if you're able to. We have special guests joining us today in the broadcast, as we will all week long right here on the Grace Hour. So you're in for a special treat today as well as the rest of the week. Pastors coming in from all over the globe, national pastors, international pastors. We've got a great broadcast in store for you, so stay with us. Following their messages today, we will open the phone lines, as we always do here in the Grace Hour, your opportunity to join us live on the air with your question, your comment, your testimony, or, if necessary, your counseling need. We'd be happy to, again, help you out any way we can here at the Grace Hour. Here are the telephone numbers. 800-338-7060. That is toll-free, friends, in the United States, as well as Canada, the local number here in the Baltimore area, if you'd like to join us, 410-483-3700. We want to welcome all of our listeners on our local station, WRBS 1230 on your AM dial right here in the greater Baltimore area. We'd also like to welcome all of our friends also tuning in live at gracehour.org. And, of course, those of you listening and watching on Facebook Live, welcome to today's Grace Hour broadcast. Well, friends, as we mentioned, we have a couple of special guests joining us in the studio today. And our first guest comes to us from Elgin, Illinois, the greater Chicago area. It's Pastor Jack Wheatley, and he is here. And several people from his ministry are here also, again, joining us for this year's International Convention. He's been in this area now, outside of Chicago, for the last 5 years, married to his lovely wife, Nicole, for the past 16 years, and we're thrilled to have him as our special guest today, live, right here on the Grace Hour, Pastor Jack Wheatley.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Love, and it's what a great honor to be here with people from all over the world. We gather one time each year for a week, and we meditate on the great words. And this year's theme, built upon a rock. It's an amazing theme to think about, and especially in today's time, the millennials, we've been joking about the millennials a little bit, wayward or whatnot, and they might think, I want to be built upon Google or Amazon or the newest electrical gadget that will streamline and make my life more efficient. But today, to be built upon the rock, we were to contemplate and meditate, just to think that it was just 49 years ago that man first left the gravitational pull of this rock, being the rock of the earth. It was three astronauts, William Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman. They entered the Apollo 8 capsule, and on Christmas Eve of 1968, they did a live broadcast in which they projected pictures of the moon and earth seen from Apollo 8. And it was at that time the most watched TV program ever. 6 years prior to the launch, a NASA official called Borman and said, hey, we figure more people will be listening to your voice than that of any man in history. So we want you to say something appropriate. Kind of what they told me today, I should say something appropriate. So imagine if you were one of those astronauts, William Anders, Jim Lovell, or Frank Borman, and you were in that space capsule. You were one of the first men that had ever left the gravitational pull of this earth, this rock. You were the first one to see the earth rise. You're seeing a view no man has ever seen before, but yet looking on objects that all men have laid their eyes upon. What would you say? Your privileged perspective was enabled by the greatest technological advancements of the greatest minds of that day, and it was your life's dedication to intellectual and physical excellence that earned you your unique vantage point. What would you say? William Anders began, "We are now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all of you people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message we would like to share with you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." This was his appropriate words, that God created the heavens and the earth. God created this rock. God created this whole universe. What an amazing testimony that we have as to how our God created this earth. He spoke. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light in verse 3. Verse 6, he said, "Let the firmament in the midst of the waters, let," and it formed. He said in verse 9, he said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered upon into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. In verse 11, he said, "Let the earth bring forth grass." And it was so. In verse 14, "And let there be lights in heaven." And it was so. And then down in verse 24, he says, "And let the earth bring forth every creature after its kind." And it was so. God saw that it was good. Then there's a change. We see God has a conversation in verse 26. He said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Most wonderful and magnificent thing. He did not speak them into existence, but he came upon the actual face and surface of the earth, as we see and we read that it says that God came physically and the Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. And he took man out of the constituent parts of the earth. In verse 6 of Genesis chapter 2, it says, "There went up a mist from the earth. It watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed life into his nostrils, the breath of life. And man became a living soul." This word dust here is afar. And it is actually powdered clay. Out of the dust of the earth, God formed man. What is clay? Is it simply dirt? Well, yes and no. Clay differs from the inelastic earths and fine sand because of its ability, when wet in the proper amount of water, to form a cohesive mass and to retain its shape when molded. This is the clay's plasticity. And when it's heated to high temperatures, clay melts, results in a tight, hard, rock-hard substance known as ceramic. And there are actually more than 7 different types of clay, and therefore innumerable combinations thereof. Brings to mind Psalms 139. "Thine eyes," in verse 16 it says, "your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, as yet there was none of them. How precious also are those your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." See, when God came to the face of the earth, he didn't just pick the first clump of dirt and decide to form. He had it in his divine mind and intelligence. He knew exactly what was needed to make man. And so it's with every man, as we see here in Psalms 139, that when David was talking, he was saying of himself, God did know his substance, and he decided that he would, in his book, he knew what it was that David was to be when he would be on the earth. And then he decided what measure of plasticity and strength and water absorption that he would need. Plasticity, or the ability to be flexible, and to hear and to listen and to be molded by the events of life, and strength to be able to stand up and to continue, even if times were hard. And so it is with us. God knows our genetic composition, and he did it on purpose. He knows who we are and what we've been created to be. He knew us, and he purposed to make us a great work. Therefore, don't yell out, as it says in Isaiah 29:16. It says, surely that your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For the work, shall the work say of him that made it, he made me thus? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Our God has understanding. He knows us exactly. This is why it's perfect that in this verse, Genesis 2:6, that when it, or 7, excuse me, when it says that God formed us, it's this word afar. In Psalm 139:16, when it says that he fashioned us, it's this Hebrew word afar. And in Isaiah 29:16, when it says that who the thing framed, say of him that framed it, that word framed is afar. So is the word potter. So our great God in heaven, when he came and he formed man, and even when he forms us, he is the great potter. And when a potter makes his clay, the first thing that he does after he gathers the dust and he mixes with water, he folds the clay. He folds it. He works in. He puts his strength and his life into it. And as it says in Psalm 139, when you were yet unperfect there is Golem, that he is working in us who he is. And when he makes this clay, he throws us on a rock. If you were to go to India, even today, you were to go into the countryside and you were to see a potter, what a potter uses in ancient India, and even today, he uses a rock. He uses a hewn stone that's in a circle, and he uses this stone. It's a sturdy, it's a solid, it's a balanced rock, and he spins it at a high rate of speed, and then he places the clay on the rock. And then he builds it. He builds it up, and then he builds it in. Right, as Pastor Shabelli said, that he would take the clay, and in his hands that he would press it, and he would make to himself a fashioned instrument. If we were to read in Hebrews 5:8. It says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. This speaking of Christ. And then being made perfect, he became the author of our eternal salvation and unto all them that obey him. That the God incarnate, the creator of the whole universe, the Word made flesh, that he would decide and he would allow himself to be fashioned by the Father's will, that he would allow himself to have plasticity, or that he would allow himself that in anything and everything that he did, that he would hear from the Father first and then ask of the Father what it was that he would have him to do, and then he would do it. If you were to see a potter as he works the clay, it almost looks effortless as he decides what shape to make the clay into, as he surrounds his hands, around the clay. It pushes up and out, and then the potter would then come up and push it in further and to make a glorious arc or a rim on the pot, and he would make it into a beautiful earthen vessel. This is what our Christ did, as he was made perfect in obedience. He allowed himself to be formed. He allowed himself to suffer. In Colossians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, We have a beautiful illustration, and we love to hear and to think about that in verse 7 it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Sometimes the illustration stops there. But to continue in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. If we were to go back to the Hebrew definition of that word, yazar, it's been translated as framed, formed, fashioned. But in the definition, it means to press, to make narrow, to place into distress, and even to be vexed. And if we were to juxtapose that to what is now written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as it starts in verse 8 when it says that we are troubled, we are thlibo in the Greek, or to be crowded, or to be narrowed. This is a potter's term. We are troubled, we are narrowed, we are crowded, but we are not stenokareo in the Greek, or we're not cramped to the point of calamity. The potter knows just the right amount of pressure, the right amount of crowding and narrowing to make for us. It says we are perplexed, but not in despair. And perplexed there is apooreo, or to have no way out. That is to be at a loss or to have no way of escape. But if the potter has his hands around you, you have nowhere to go but the way that he wants you to go. You have no escape. But he doesn't press us. He doesn't leave us at such a way of a loss to be utterly despondent or to lose all hope. And that is the word there for despair. Our God is gracious, is he? Isn't he not? He loves us. He continues to be persecuted or to be pressed toward a certain end and to be followed after or forced into action. But we're not forsaken. We're not left behind. So in closing, when he says that we're cast down, but we're not destroyed. When he throws us down on the stone, we're cast down, but he does it for a purpose. When there's a pot or a clay that does not allow itself to be conformed into the image that the Father or that the potter has for the clay, that clay is cast away and cast aside because he will not allow himself to be formed by the Master. Today, we ought to allow ourselves to be formed by the Master, to know that we are built upon the rock, that he knows our very substance and the way that we have been made. He knows it in the most intricate parts. And so we can rejoice. We might think that we are troubled, but that troubled is an instrument of the great Father, that we would be narrowed and know the way in which we ought to walk and the thing that we ought to do, that we won't be led to calamity. There will be a way of escape, and the way of escape is to be molded into that perfect form of the great potter. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Jack Wheatley from Elgin, Illinois, joining us live on the Grace Hour today. And friends, stay with us. We have another portion that we'll be sharing with us in just a couple of moments. A quick reminder that following these two devotional messages today in the Grace Hour, we will open the phone lines. Your opportunity will be present to join us and to share your thoughts with us. We'll open the phone lines at that time as well. And don't forget, if you'd like to, you can send us an email anytime during the broadcast and send those emails to questions@gracehour.org. And now we'd like to introduce our second special guest today. Joining us on the broadcast is Pastor Manny Harrison, who has been married to his wife, Molly, now for 31 years. 31 years. 31 years.
Poor girl.
Oh, my goodness. She has a just eternal patience. Praise the Lord. Pastor Manny met the ministry in England in 1980, was on the original team to India in 1984, and then, of course, has ministered in South Africa for a decade, 10 years in South Africa, and today we still see the amazing fruit of that work, even here this week at the International Convention. Now, he is in Dumaguete in the Philippines for the last 2 years, and a great work of God is going on there, and we're thrilled to have him here with us in the Grace Hour today. Pastor Manny Harrison.
All right. Pastor Jack, I was thinking about my dad was on the aircraft carrier that recovered the Apollo 11. It's amazing. And I remember as a kid, I saw my dad on TV. My dad. Anyway,
that's special.
That was special. I'm just thinking of the theme that we have this week about foundation, and a solid foundation and a firm foundation. And I'm thinking about in Psalm 127 says this, unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor in it labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house. You know, so oftentimes, I know I see this in Africa and I've seen it in India and now in the Philippines, so many associate Christianity with activity. You know, sometimes we found this in Africa sometimes where, you be in the middle of a church service and sometimes there's a little pause and, you know, you start seeing people fidgeting in the audience and getting a little nervous, you know, and some people sometimes jump up and start singing a song because they can't stand the silence. They just get all nervous and you just, you know, kind of laugh. But, you know, so often Christianity and a Christian life and spirituality is associated with activity, the things that we do. You know, but just thinking on this, unless the Lord builds the house, you know, we can have a good family life and we could have be a good person, be a good neighbor, be a great worker. Nothing wrong with any of these things. But by sight and, you know, in all honesty, being an honest person and all these things. But unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord is doing this, then all this is in vain. All this labor, everything, activity that I do is in vain. I'm not trying to condemn, but it's just a great challenge in our lives to just really consider hearing God and considering the foundations of our life that are, you know, the things that we do, especially as a pastor and a missionary, that I'm not caught up or I'm not distracted by activity in my life, but I and can be still and be able to hear God and be led by God and understand the work of the Lord, number one, in my heart, in my life, and to be, you know, to understand that, you know, it is God. It's God who works in me both to will and to do, and that we are His workmanship created unto good works. You know, and that's really like the greatest challenge in my life and a great challenge in teaching so many new believers or believers that are caught in the cauldron of, I haven't done anything lately. What have I done? You know, what is the Lord? You know, just the angst of Christianity oftentimes. And, that we find even in my own life that, you know, we evaluate our lives on the basis of what we've accomplished in the past. Evaluate our lives on the basis of what's going on. Evaluate our lives on the condition or emotionally on our condition or, you know, what's happening in our lives today. But not forget that our life is about a work of God. It's God. You know, it's God that works in us. And it's God that, you know, that continues to, establish, number one, that's what's so important about the finished work, isn't it? That if we don't have a foundation of the finished work and understanding that we are complete, the work of God is absolutely, absolutely done. on our behalf, that we now have the freedom to be able to be still and hear God, to be able to be led by God, to hear that still small voice where we're not so caught up in trying to, well, be spiritual and trying to be saved once again, you know, and to regain God's favor, that we're not caught up in that, but that we are established in the right thinking that it is done. You know, we have this foundation of a complete work of God and absolutely done. It's utterly done. And then we go, then we can move on. We move on to, you know, to grow in grace. We move on to, you know, receive mercies that are new every morning, and that we can just, enter into, well, you know, Hebrews says this, that our labor is to enter into what? We enter into rest. You know, the rest that God has rested from his work, and that we enter into that rest and fellowship around that rest, and we have a foundation of rest for our lives, and for our, you know, foundation of rest for our marriage, foundation of rest for our relationships, and for the work that God has put before us, that we have a foundation of rest, and that we're not caught up in the activity and distracted by the service. You know, it wasn't that Martha was, you know, it wasn't that Martha was doing something and doing a lot of things, but she was distracted by it, you know, encumbered by it, and that it caused a break in her fellowship with God. And so I hear the music.
When you hear that music, you know
I don't want to be distracted by that.
Amen. But we're going to take our half-hour break here live in the Grace Hour, sign off on our local station, and, of course, thanking those of you that were able to tune in and listen. And if you're able to, again, join us at gracehour.org, live on the Internet for the next half hour, or Facebook Live. We're going to continue the broadcast, the second half hour coming your way, friends. So stay tuned, stay with us, because we will continue live right here from our chapel as the 2017 Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention continues right here, live on the Grace Hour. And we're back with you live, friends, and welcome back for the second half hour of our broadcast. And you have been listening to our special guests joining us this week right here in the Grace Hour in this Wednesday edition of the broadcast, Pastor Jack Wheatley from the greater Chicago area, and Pastor Manny Harrison, who's joining us from the Philippines, where he has been ministering over the last 2 years. So, Pastor Manny, I want to go right back to you so you can finish up those thoughts, because just some great thoughts, some great principles that we can continue to discuss and talk about as the program continues.
Yeah, isn't that the foundation of our faith, that Abraham received something from God? You know, his righteousness was not based on activity. His righteousness was not based on his performance or even his ability to do something, but he just received something. And the problem with Abraham was like when the after having received the promise, it wasn't coming out right away, you know. And then in we go with the activity. Hey, gotta make it happen. Let's go, Hagar, and Ishmael comes out, you know. Just continuing on. Saul, King Saul, was all about activity in the flesh. Making declarations. And you know, I remember that one time in Chronicles where he says, well, you know, we're not going to eat anything. Only to do this battle. You know, and it comes out that Jonathan did something. He broke that. You know, and, just the mentality of us. So oftentimes we find ourselves in of evaluating and our lives on the activity and, anxiety over, what it means to be spiritual and what it means to be a Christian. But we have the established foundation, a firm foundation of God, you know, just doing a work. You know, David, you're not going to build me a house. I will build you a house. You know, and Jesus said this, didn't he? I will go and prepare a place for you. You know, this is an amazing life that God is above and beyond anything that we can ever ask or think. God does not hold anything back. He didn't spare his own son. And this is the foundation of our life, the foundation of who we are. It's God doing a work. And, it's not us, but it's God doing a work. And he's doing it both to will and to do of his great pleasure. And it's God, it's God, it's God. And I just love being here. Some people have heard the term so oftentimes, delegates, because we're having a convention. And I said this to somebody the other day. I go, nothing wrong with that word, but it's like, we're just like family. It's a family reunion. Yes, it's convention. Yes, we have a conference. Yes, we're coming from all over the world, but we're having a family reunion, a reunion of the mindset of just really celebrating what God has done, the foundation of the Word of God, the foundation of prayer, the foundation of the finished work, the foundation of grace, and the foundation of life. And I love being here.
Amen. Amen. We love having you here, both of you gentlemen. Thank you for sharing those rich portions today with us. And, Pastor Manny, I couldn't help but think, as you're speaking today, spirituality is so often equated with activity. In large measure, you would think that the church as a whole across the world has this idea that one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the busy, for they are the ones that will really know God. But that's simply not the case. It could be something like, blessed are those that are resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who find themselves built upon the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Mm. Blessed are those that keep responding to the grace of God on a consistent basis. Blessed are those that keep recognizing the new mercies that come from God's throne on a daily basis. Blessed are those who recognize the great faithfulness of God. Because certainly when you do those things, you're going to reflect them. I mean, you cannot help but living in the presence of a faithful God creates faithfulness in your life. Receiving God's new mercies every morning makes you a merciful person. Growing in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes you a gracious person. So these principles are really, they're so exciting. And to think that we could leave the convention with this understanding, it's not up to us. It's not up to us. The one who started this work promises to fulfill it and complete it in each one of our lives. And someone would say, well, how do you know that for sure? Well, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, one of the first things we did, or God did for us, is that he sealed us. He sealed us until the day of redemption. He gave us the Holy Spirit. It's almost as if God says, now that you've trusted me for your eternal salvation, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. This is not going to be a solo journey that you're on as you meander your way through life. The Holy Spirit is with you. I'm going to seal you. I'm going to commit myself to keeping you, to filling you, to empowering you, and so that you can serve and love and minister and to do all of those things with a spirit of joy. And it's not going to be you. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is liberating. This sets you free. I mean, for all of us to be here at this great convention and to leave with this understanding, I don't have to do it. He's already done it. I can celebrate the finished work of Christ and just live in that. And I can be empowered by God's rest. Well, these are just great thoughts, friends. And we want to open the phone lines. And of course, we have a live microphone right here in our studio audience. If anyone in the audience has a comment, a question, come up. Speak very clearly into that microphone. Tell us your name, where you're from. Share your question or your comment. Phone lines are open, friends. You can join us at the following numbers. 800-338-7060, which is the toll-free number in Canada, in the United States. The local number, 410-483-3700. We have Brian, who's been waiting to join us live in the broadcast. Brian, thanks for being so patient. Go ahead. You're on the Grace Hour.
Doing well. I mean,
Brian, you know what? We're going to have to stop you. We cannot hear you. You're not coming through very clearly at all. We'll try to reconnect with you because we're unable to hear your comment or question. So please try to get back with us. We'll see if we can reconnect and get a clearer signal. Gentlemen, the microphones are yours.
I'm not used to having a mic like this on the stand next to two good-looking guys. They really have faces for radio, don't they?
Yeah. But, we've heard that.
I've seen Johnny come lately. I doesn't know what to say. I love what Pastor Manny was, that we are, he builds the foundation. That he is the one, just as we were saying, that the potter works the clay, and it's not that the clay is doing the work, but the clay is responding to that which the potter has already done, which is a great thing, and to have a realization that we don't have to fret. Pastor Manny was saying, we don't fret. We don't have to come in a strategic meeting and then implement our strategy on a tactical level and wonder if what we've come up with is a successful model. We know that we are built upon the rock, that our rock is the word of the Lord, and that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he knew exactly how to respond to the Father's will. So we're in the best apprenticeship program that there is.
Amen.
Yep.
I love that thought. And of course, as you were talking about the potter and the clay, and we've seen that, you know, we've had our camp programs throughout these many years, and sometimes we have a ceramic program, you know. And the potter comes in and they set up that whole stand and they work the clay. But what I've noticed is when things aren't quite working out so well with that clay on the wheel, I've noticed that the potter sometimes just squashes the whole thing and starts all over again. And am I wrong to think that sometimes that's the way we feel? Because things just aren't working out, and God says, this is not a problem. Let me just squash you for a little while, and then I will, you know, recreate the image and the likeness of my own son in your life.
Amen. We're cast down, but we're not cast away. We're not forsaken. He has a plan, and he has a way, and he'll make it happen.
A little squashing.
A little squashing. Never hurt anybody. All right. Brian is back. We're going to go back to the phones and take his call and see if we can reconnect with him in a clearer signal. Brian, can you hear us? Brian, are you there? Brian, are you raptured?
Oh, well.
Brian, we're going to try to reconnect with you. In the meantime, we have a guest in our studio audience up to the microphone. Tell us your name, where you're from, and then present your comment or question.
My name is Jerry Weaver, Pennsylvania. And I want to start off the comment. This will be quick. But this comment, I didn't know our church was a meat grinder. I forgot which one of the pastors said that last night, but that was funny.
Yeah.
And a statement that came out yesterday in the morning session was, you can't build a house on a rolling stone.
That's right.
That's what I'm going to leave you with.
Well, thank you. All right. Rolling stones and meat grinders. There's a lot to think about there. Thank
Don't
you, Jerry.
Don't build your house with the rolling stones either.
Amen. We've heard some great principles in many of the sessions that have taken place so far, such as, and gentlemen, you feel free to weigh in at any time, our rock is not like their rock, referring to Christ and referring to the finished work that you alluded to, Pastor Manny. And there's such comfort and hope in that message, that our rock is not like their rock.
Yeah.
He is greater. He can do all things, and then he can do all things through each one of us as we rely upon him and turn to him. And I just get so encouraged when I think of the nature of Christ and this foundation that has already been laid for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. We heard a little bit about that this morning during our convention. No other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Yeah. Very comforting to know that we don't have to lay the foundation. And then when we begin to build on that foundation, it's the Lord, as right. You pointed out, Pastor Manny, that does the building.
And,
it's not
and,
us.
Yeah, because of the foundation, a foundation of grace, like Paul says, I labor much more abundantly than they. And, you know, we're not thinking about the labor. It's the, you know, fellowship around, walking in the light, and the yoke. There is a yoke, but it's easy. Burden, there is a burden, but it's light. And it's God. It's the Lord.
Amen. Well, we have a guest from our studio audience joining us, so come right up to the microphone and tell us your name, where you're from, and then present your comment or question, please.
Okay, Christy from North Miami Beach, Florida. It's a comment. So we were talking about the mold and the clay, and there was a workshop this morning also that was talking about your free volition and about how, you know, sometimes it takes so many things to happen to us and so many things that we go through in our lives to bring us to the point that you're like, okay, that's it, I give up, you know? And it's not until that moment when we say we give up that God can then mold us and work in our hearts and in our minds to renew us and restore us and build us up according to his purpose. You know, so that made me think a lot about the workshop this morning and building upon the rock and about how many times, you know, God must be looking at us like, when are you going to give up already? Like, you're asking me all these questions, and I have the answer for you, but you want to keep on trying to make it work the way that you think you know how, when I'm the only one that can give you the answer that you need. You know, you kind of got to ask not so much what I want, but what do I need? You know, what do I need to be done? I need to give up to God so that he can work in me.
Amen.
Great thought.
He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. So that we are in a different class. We're the creature and he's the creator. So why would the creature say to that which created him, why did you make me this way? The creator knows why he made us the way in which he made us. And he is just saying, hey, I made you for this very purpose. Rest, allow me to narrow you, to crowd you, and to form you. Amen?
Amen. Phone lines are open, friends. You can join us at 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number in Canada, right here in the United States. Locally in Baltimore, again, if you'd like to give us a call, it's 410-483-3700. Emails, send them to questions@gracehour.org. Another guest has joined us from our studio audience. Tell us your name, sir.
My name is David. I'm from Columbia, Maryland. I got super blessed, and a man who I hadn't seen for 31 years preached today, and I got to talk to him in the cafe for 10 minutes, Pastor Ben Turkey, and it brought back a lot of loving memories. We were very good friends in Massachusetts. We still are good friends, and we'll see each other in heaven.
Amen. Thank you, David. Appreciate that comment. That's right. And, friends, if you have a comment or question, again, live in the broadcast, just go to your phones and join us live.
It's one of the wonderful things about convention. It's almost like our New Year celebration. We want to bring in a new year. We've been yearning in Chicago. We yearn to be with everyone in Baltimore, to be with everyone that's across the country and across the world. And it was an amazing sight to behold this morning after the morning service, to hear the ladies give their name and where they were from. I think we had a great representation of ladies reaching out to China. That was encouraging. A lot of people to love up.
Amen. And we have another guest joining us live in our studio audience. So step up to the microphone and tell us your name, where you're from, and ask your comment or question.
Steve from Miami, Florida. Miami, Florida, Steve, yeah. Going back to referencing your points on Ephesians 1:13, how it is finished. We do rest. And Pastor Ken and I go to a rehab center where people either go to prison or they do go to this rehab center for drugs and to get through this. And it's only there's no 7-step program, there's no doing this, no outline, all these other do's and don'ts, but simply being underneath the Word of God. And the Word of God frees these people. There's like about an 80% to 90% passing rate where people don't return to their old lifestyle, only through resting in the truth of God and letting let the Word of God set you free. And that's the comment. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. And that's the truth. And I think that there would be some people that would argue and say, well, you know, they need this several step program. They need this 12-step program. They need this program. And in some cases, I'm sure that it can help. We're not going to deny that. But the fact of the matter is, if a human being can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept what Christ has accomplished for them on the cross and then feed and feast on the Word of God, the promises of God on a consistent basis, they can be healed, they can be delivered, they can be made whole, they become a brand new creation in Christ, and we know something about our God. He puts the wounded back on their feet. God does that, and He does it all by grace, and it doesn't have anything to do with us. And I go back to what you shared earlier, Pastor Manny. I often think of that funny story of this, you know, the giraffe, and he's going to cross this bridge, but the bridge is a little shaky. It's a wooden bridge, and it looks like it's going to collapse. And there's a flea right close, right next to the ear of this big giraffe. And he says, you know, just do it. Just go. So the giraffe, he heads across this wooden bridge, and it tumbles, and it shakes, and it quakes, and it looks like it's going to go, but they get across. And then the flea whispers in his ear and says, wow, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? The point being is that sometimes, you know, we got to remember, we're just along for the ride. God does all the work. God does all the heavy lifting. He finished the work. We can just enjoy the freedom that we find in His words, it is finished.
Yeah, Jeremiah 9 says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or let not the strong man glory in his might, but let him the glory in this, that he knows me. And I'm a God who exercises hased, loving kindness, grace. You know, that this is what our life is. That we fall seven times in a day, seven, and get back up. You know, the number for seven is perfect. You know, we're a perfect failure. But, you know, we fall seven times, get back up, because, yeah, it's God. And we know this God who exercises grace and loving kindness to us. And it just motivates us to just continue, you know, and keep looking at Him, and that He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and that He who has begun a good work, well, He'll continue, and He will do it complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's a promise of God, and this is what we have for our life, that we live by the Word of God, live by God's promises, and that these very promises are the ones that shape our lives, and the very promises that give us our righteousness, and that transform us into something different. You know, God is the original thinker outside of the box. You know, we got the box of the natural man just thinking, well, you know, gotta be religious, or you gotta be a good person, or you gotta prove yourself. No, God thinks something else. He has a different line of thinking.
Yeah. Amen. Well, we have a caller joining us from overseas, from the country of Albania. It's our friend Arbor. Arbor, I want to welcome you to this Grace Hour broadcast. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Lou. Hi. Hi again.
Greetings.
Great message from the conversation. I'm so thankful I'm listening the Grace Hour and all messages like from all over the world, like all pastors. And it's great message. Thank you. And like our Jesus is our rock, and he's so faithful God. Like everything works for good. It's in Romans 8:28, and it's so amazing, like to walk in this rock and to drink from this rock. Like Jesus is our rock, and he's so faithful. He say, "Ask in my name, I will do." And he's like great God, like he's great rock, like we can go to him. Yeah, he's so amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Arbor. Great to hear from you, and we appreciate you calling us today, and of course listening in on the Grace Hour as well as the International Convention. God bless you, sir. Thank you for joining us. We have somebody joining us also now from our live studio audience. Tell us your name, where you're from, and share your comment with us.
I'm Ty from here in Baltimore. Okay. You two men have again gave two more amazing messages to add to the themes that have been going on so far of God's grace, but there's this also secondary theme which is developing of warfare. And I was thinking that you can't preach the full counsel of God if you don't preach Christ and Christ crucified, because we all are knitted together in suffering. We're crucified with Christ, therefore we no longer live. That's what makes us one. We're crucified with Christ. And that suffering, the element of how do you get this grace from God? How does the pottery become galvanized? It's through the heat of life. God, as you said so amazingly, Pastor Jack, God knows, does not give us more than what we can bear. But you must have it. You can't go through this life. It cannot become a part of who you are without the heat. One of God's amazing promises and precious promises is he promises us suffering. He said, no suffering, no reigning. And he's teaching us to reign with him through suffering with him so that the truth of what he is telling us in our mind that we get elated about, but we must hold on to it until it becomes proven in the heat and it becomes a part of who we are. So we can take these truths with us and become knitted together as one, each member to one another. Because when we share in each other's suffering, we also can share in each other's grace.
Amen. That's a great point. It's an amazing point. And even the application of ceramics and their ability to insulate from heat is still being explored to its full extent. And the fact that when we are made by the potter, and then we are vitrified, or like you said, we're thrown into the rock. Because after you're formed on the rock, then you get thrown into the rock, or you get thrown into the kiln, and you have this process which is called vitrification. It's a 7-step process. And it's, you go from being this miry clay that has no fortitude to being rock, to being actual rock. And the process just, you crystallize, or you're in perfect alignment to think about being built, precept upon precept, and to have your knowledge to increase so that you are built up and fitly framed into a great house of doctrine. And that is exactly what happens in ceramics, that the molecules are lined up and they're ready for battle and to fight. So that's exactly what happens in the heat of what God has for us to do. So, amen. Thank you.
All right. We have another guest joining us right here in our studio audience. Tell us your name, where you're from, and share your comment with us.
My name is Jim, and I live here with my wife in Baltimore. I was thinking about Pastor Manny said about unless the Lord build the house. And I was thinking, well, what's the house? And all of a sudden, I realized all this amazing stuff about it. The house is the church. The house is our individual lives. The house is our finances. The house is our health. The house, most importantly, is our walk with Christ. The house is our soul winning. The house is our prayer life. The house is our entire life with Christ.
Amen. And except he does the building in each of those areas, those that labor, labor in vain. And I want to go back to what you shared earlier in your comments, Pastor Manny, about Paul speaking about laboring and really laboring more abundantly than anyone, and yet qualifying that statement by saying, yet not I, but the grace that was in me. Now, how is it that grace results in a labor of love, in a work of faith?
Like, in a natural sense, you know, when I have not had proper rest, I have not been rested, I'm less effective in my life, in my whatever my activity, whether it be sports or just mentally, you know, whether I'm doing a job or, you know, I don't want to be in an airplane where the pilot hasn't slept in, you know, 3 days, especially when there's no autopilot. But, just think of that, you know, that, just the foundation, the foundation of our life, that, you know, it all points to God. It all points to the, God's work, God's labor, God's accomplishments. But yet, you know, we are co-laboring with him. You know, we were allowed to grow in grace. We're allowed to just continue to be drawn into his love, drawn into his fellowship. And I always see it. I don't know if you've ever, you know, like been in a time or a place where you're like excited about you know, showing somebody something new or being able to show somebody an experience, have them experience something that you've experienced before. And you know, and it's just like, yeah, I just see this as God, you know, showing, you know, wanting to show us the kingdom, God wanting to show us, you know, our abilities with his, that, you know, hey, it's not your faith, it's mine. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about you loving yourself, but that you love, you understand that you, I love you, and that you're able to love yourself with my love, and that you, you know, you love God with God's love, and it's all comes from God through the Spirit. That's why he gave us the Spirit. Because we can't do it. Can't be done.
Yeah, and we heard about that this morning, Pastor Ben Turkier beautifully describing the fact, and I think it's a statement that releases us and sets us free. I can't do it. We can't do it. Of course, he was illustrating the point by saying to a gentleman, you know, just read the Sermon on the Mount, read it over and over again for several days, several weeks. And of course, he came back and he said, yeah, I read it. I read it over and over again, and I can't do it. Great. Now you're at a place to let God do for you what you cannot do for yourself. That's the nature of grace. That's the nature of the Spirit's work. A work that sometimes you can't see. I mean, much like the rudder of a great ship. You know, you don't see that rudder. It's beneath the surface of the water. But without it, that ship cannot reach its destination. That ship cannot go in the direction it intends to go in. The Holy Spirit is the rudder of our souls. We cannot see his quieter, more deep, powerful work, but it is happening within our souls. And that's why it's so comforting to know that we're sealed unto the day of redemption. The work of the Spirit is a work that is ongoing, but it's a work that's going to carry us. Again, it's going to lead us. It's going to guide us, going to keep revealing Christ to us, going to create a consciousness of our own sonship and a personal identity, going to pray for us when we can't pray for ourselves. In Romans 8, verse 26, I mean, the Spirit's ministry. Can we imagine where we would be without it? It has to be the single most important aspect of our Christian experience, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank God this is no solo journey that we are on. Yeah. We're taking it together with the Spirit.
Amen.
Well, friends, we're reaching the end of today's Grace Hour broadcast, and time enough for us to thank Pastor Jack Wheatley from the Chicago, Illinois area. Thanks, Pastor Jack. Great to have you with us.
Amen.
And Pastor Manny Harrison from the Philippines, and he says the door is wide open anytime you want to visit. Thanks for joining us, friends. We'll be back tomorrow for the next live edition of the Grace Hour right here from the convention.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.